I am loving this series on making life work. We've had so far navigating seasons of change. That was the first week. This is all up on our app and YouTube channel. We've had panels. We've had all kinds of people up. Last week, who can remember last week?
Technology.
That was such a good session. We felt like it was so short, but some really good conversation starters in there. Again, it's online if you missed that. And share it with people, because there's some absolute gold about how to deal with a land of tech. Next week, I'm not sure if anyone will turn up next week. We're doing health and fitness. So if you think the Bible has something to say about health and fitness, come along and hear and be challenged about our bodies, keeping our bodies well. And we've got a great panel lined up of people who actually do this well. But this week it's work. It's making work work. Making work work. And I tell you, work is one of those things that we all do. And we have our seasons, and sometimes a real blessing, and sometimes it's just a grind, right? I want to take 10 minutes, and I've promised the guys I'm going to take 10 minutes. I can see that, 10, 12, 10, 22. I'm going to finish this little bit and then grab a panel. I want to just quickly go over four things of work from the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about work, a lot, beginning to end. But I want to frame it up in something. Right in the beginning, we have this thing which theologians call the cultural mandate. Okay? You won't see those words written, but that's what it is. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. All right? So God created this beautiful, beautiful world and planet. Animals, giraffes, hippopotamus, kangaroos, and then put people, the finest part of his creation, put it in the middle of the garden, and he said, work, tend it, grow it. So the mandate given to mankind was to create something from the raw materials that God gave him. And so we've done that, haven't we? Like, the monkeys didn't do that. The dogs didn't do that. The mosquitoes didn't do that. People transform wood and iron ore and coal and you know, we create stuff from the stuff that God's given us. That makes sense? So we have cities and we have ocean liners. We have people who go into space. We have farms, you know, towns, houses, all the things that people have made. It's because God said, go ahead and make it. Subdue the earth. Have authority over it. You're different to the animals. And that's the cultural mandate. And it's not just the physical stuff. It's cultures, languages, poetry, you know, art, music, all the stuff that we make in our society and our economy and all of the amazing things that go on in our world. It all comes from this verse. And it's our God-given mandate to create and to take the stuff of the raw materials and make it into something. You and I are called to be part of that. How exciting. However, and you can hear the but coming, can't you? There's a problem. And the problem is the fall of man. And the consequence of that, and the fall of man, is simply when people said, my way is better than your way. People said, I know best, God. That's what it is. When Adam and Eve did the whole thing with the fruit, it's really saying, I think we'll take it from here, God. And the ramifications of that ever since have seen the same attitude. I think we'll take it from here, God. Thank you for all this. We'll be fine. Let's do it my way. And so that has resulted in a kind of selfishness and a pride and an arrogance in some of the things we've built. And so there's a mixture of stuff, isn't there? There's brilliance mixed with, that didn't quite work. Isn't that true of our work? I mean, I love the jobs. I get to do two jobs. I love the jobs that I do, but sometimes there's a grind. Sometimes it's hard. Because of this, in Genesis 3, says it's 3:17, it says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat your food. For you will turn to the ground, since you were taken, for dust you are dust, all right? But the point is, it's actually going to be hard work. we're going to be pushing up in every area of our life. There are going to be challenges. So that shouldn't surprise us. If you think life was meant to be easy, just read Genesis 3. But in the middle of that, now here's something super, super exciting. Is a promise in Revelation 21, 5. So I'm jumping to the end of the Bible. This is the end game, okay? He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." So here's the deal. Our work is going to be challenging, but we contribute to making all things new. So we are part of recreating this world to become the place that it was meant to be. See? That's what God is weaving through us even now. So whether you're a teacher or a landscape architect or a bricklayer or whatever, forestry, you are using your skills and your gifts to make all things new. You are recreating stuff. As a nurse, you are literally putting people back together. As a teacher, you're educating people in creativity and culture and understanding. As a builder, you're literally building stuff. You see, everything has a place. There is no sacred and secular. Everything has a place. Well, there's some professions that probably I wouldn't go into. You know, there are some things that are sinful or evil that this world I wouldn't, as a Christian, involve myself into. But most things, so God is giving us a gift of being part of his recreation of the world. How exciting. It's so exciting. And so this idea of call or vocation is not just about making money. It's about fulfilling the call of God on your life. In Judges, we see this guy called Manoah. He said, "When your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life and what is his mission?" There's a boy that's been born and there's clearly something about him. And they say, well, what a good question. What is to be the child's manner of life and what is his mission? Ever thought about that? If you've had a kid and a baby, you look at the baby and go, I wonder what this child will be. I wonder what will his call be or her call. How exciting. Apparently, my mum looked at me when I was born and saw my fingers and said, I think this boy will be a piano player. How amazing. Just as a newborn baby. In 1 Corinthians, we said each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. In other words, we have particular gifts and skill sets that is not just a spiritual thing, not just for the church, actually for the whole of life. Some of us are great with kids. Some of us are hopeless. Some of us are great with hands-on mechanics. Some of us are not great. You know, it's obvious, isn't it? You know, some of us can do stuff well. Some of us can't. So what is our particular call? And we in the Western world have the privilege of pursuing that. We're not having to live in a factory or having to, you know, just live to survive. We actually have the ability, the beautiful ability, to enter different callings of life. So part of this exploration of making all things new is, what is my part of it? And it's a great prayer to pray. What is my bit in this God recreating the planet to make all things new? And so how do we do that? It's with a great work ethic. Many scriptures talk about hard work, the value of work. And Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, I love this scripture. I learned it as a kid. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Isn't that brilliant? Whatever you do, whatever work you do, whatever you're doing, stuff in the home, stuff in the garden, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. He's talking to people who are under slavery conditions. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Put your whole heart into it. You're playing music, put your whole heart. Are you writing books? Put your whole heart into it. Just so, like you're working for the Lord, not for your boss. When you turn up to work, you're actually working for Jesus. You're not working for whoever's paying you. Well, Jesus is paying anyway. I love that Paul's attitude. He's pretty tough, actually, in 2 Thessalonians. Because he himself, even though he had a right to receive offerings, he actually didn't. He ran his own business, making tents, just so that he could say this. He says, for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor do we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. With toil and labor, we worked night and day, so we might not be a burden to any of you. Like, here's Paul, the great apostle, working for his own survival in a business, making tents. It was not because we did not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give this command: if anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear someone among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. How's that for a slap around the face? So Paul's setting the example, hard work, toiling day and night to provide for his own needs, so that he's modeling that for the people around him. Now, there is rest in that, and it's important not to overdo that. There are seasons like Sabbath, like a Sunday. Man, in our household, it's shut down. When I get home, chill out with some friends, or watch some movie tonight, or, you know, just so build in rhythms of work and rest. Work hard, rest hard. But Paul has some great advice in this. So I reckon my 10 minutes has just ticked. Summarize. You and I are part of this great cultural mandate. Let's get the guys up here. Nicole, Andrew, Reese, come up on the stage while I summarize this. Cultural mandate: work is good, work is challenging because of the conditions that we're in, because of selfishness. You have a calling in the middle of this, and our work ethic is to go for it. So welcome these guys to the stage, Reese, Nicole, Andrew. Take this away. Thanks, guys. I just take this. So we're doing the panel thing, and welcome. Now you're in the dark again, Andrew.
Yeah.
You should come into the light more often.
I'll try and do that. My pastor doesn't stop me getting into the light.
Let me introduce, and I'd just love to just quickly, who are you, obviously, and what's your work? Reese, far away.
Hi, I'm Reese. I work at Swinging Bridge. As the general manager, so a winery over in Orange.
And just, I'll drill down a bit, what does that mean? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
So make sure that the business is operating, running, profitable, work with staff to make sure that everyone's happy and achieving their goals within the business, and making sure that people that are visiting the cellar door are enjoying the wine.
So, general manager of a winery, man, and a pretty good bass player and sound technician as well. Fabulous. Nicole.
Oh, dear. I'm Nicole. I work as a medical administration or receptionist here in town at the cardiologist for the last couple of years.
Now, so what I'd like to, can I just drill a little bit about your history? So, you were a nurse in South Africa.
Yeah, so I always say in my previous life I used to be a nurse. But yeah, so first and foremost, a nurse probably off by heart, but now just in medical administration.
Yeah, because it's been quite a battle to get registration and to be a nurse, to actually practice here.
Yeah, no, so it is a hard process, but it's been 6 years. So I've always got that, but yeah, I've moved on now from that part. So yeah.
Yeah. So medical, nursing, all the gory stuff, right? I just want to get your picture of the differences up here. Yeah. Andrew.
Yeah, this is the question that I always struggle to answer, actually. What do I
and
do?
And your wife doesn't know either?
No one knows.
What do you actually do, Andrew?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. The short answer is I'm an accountant by trade. The longer answer is I wear so many different hats in my world. So I run an advisory practice for, as a CFO, strategic advice, that kind of thing. Run a law firm. I'm the chairman of the board at Virto. I'm on the Scots All Saints College Council, and of course on the board here. And so they're all kind of there's a lot of alignment between those things. in terms of what I'm doing, but I'm just wearing so many different hats.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. We're going to drill down in a minute. I just want you to see the difference. Obviously, I'm pastor of the church here. I do that on 2 days a week at the moment. And I am the Global Teacher Academy Director for an organization of schools, network of 120 schools. So you and I have a pretty complex life in wearing multiple hats. And so do you, Reese. I've seen you come in from picking grapes to serving Salvador to being part of finance.
Correct, yeah, everything involved in, like, we're a small team of four people, so, like, you know, everyone does everything.
Yeah, yeah. No, and Nicole is a mum and a wife to Dion, which may also be challenging. We love you, Dion. So, and just think, just out here, I mean, there are probably, you know, 50 other jobs, just different varieties, so this is pretty fun. Let's drill down to the questions here. If you could do any work, what would it be? I mean, you might be doing your dream thing, but if you could do anything, what would it be? I'll start over with Reese.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I love my job. It's probably what I would be doing.
Yeah.
And part of the reason for that is that, you know, life really is about that work-life balance, and my career, my job doesn't define who I am. I've worked previously in restaurants, long hours, night times, work-life balance isn't so great. You don't get to spend as much time with family, with friends. I would often finish work at 2, 3 a.m. on a Saturday night and then go to church the next day and quite often fall asleep in church. To be fair, they were in cinema seats, so a bit too comfortable.
Yeah, understand.
Yeah, but then have to go to work for lunch service that day. So... yeah, work-life balance there, not so great.
Yeah.
Whereas my current job, a lot better, a lot more time to spend time enjoying the things that I enjoy doing,
yeah.
Like spending time with family, friends, church life, fitness, you know, all of those other things that really should be defining my life, not work.
Yeah, yeah. Fabulous. Nicole, what about you? Is there a dream job? Is there something that you...
Nah, I'm with Reese. I don't think there would have been anything else because it is a calling in life to go do what you are meant to be doing.
Yeah.
I think from the nursing side, it was also probably the work-life balance was also probably a bit harder. Yes, you do have your off days, but it's very long hours, night shifts and all of that. Whereas now, pretty much Monday to Friday, you've got your weekends, be able to spend more time with family and friends and just to be there around, yeah.
Yeah.
So won't change anything.
Look at this. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, look, I think it changes as you go through life. Mm. And, you know, I never saw myself in this kind of role in my early days. I always wanted to be a pilot. That was kind of, the thing.
That's quite up there.
It is up there. dad jokes at the Lloyd House, eh? But look, you know, I fell into this and I really love what I do. I can touch so many people in the spaces that I'm in a really positive way. And so I really love that. But if I wasn't doing that, you know, if I could make it work, I'd probably be a farmer.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that. Just out in the land.
There's a few out there, actually.
I might have a chat to them later, actually.
That want to be farmers. Is that rude?
That's all it is at the moment.
Fabulous. Okay, so we're drilling down. I've got a question around, do you wrestle with some of the things in your work life? And I've listed for the panel here, meaninglessness, boredom, difficulties, lack of motivation, or anything like that. You know, you and I probably have these kinds of days or weeks where it's either meaningless or boring or difficult, or it's hard to get motivated. Have you experienced, and then how does your faith help you in those seasons or days or weeks where work is just a little tough? Reese, have you experienced that, or have you just got this amazing job where none of that ever happens?
It's perfect. It's all good. no, I mean, work, having such a kind of varied day-to-day, I don't often find myself getting bored, but there are certainly parts of my job that I don't enjoy as much as others. Mm. You know, I really, I really love serving people, and that's one of the reasons why I'm in the role that I'm in.
Right.
I originally did, when I was studying, I did a Bachelor of Music, and so that's what my training is in.
It's completely different.
Correct. but as I was doing that, I was working in restaurants, obviously, to kind of pay for uni, and realised I enjoyed serving people.
Right.
And so that's why I've ended up in this career. And so that's what I love about my job. But then obviously there's, you know, all of the dealing with, you know, staff, issues that come up, kind of managing those kinds of things. And I suppose my faith helps me to deal with those just from having to, you know, make sure that I'm holding true to my faith and using kind of the example of Jesus in how I should be responding and reacting to things in the workplace.
Yeah.
And also making sure that, you know, with my staff, I am treating them with kindness and compassion.
Right.
And patience. And a lot of the time in workplaces, and particularly in restaurants and hospitality and that kind of thing, it's so high-paced, and management can often be quite brutal.
Yeah.
Towards their staff. And so really making sure that I'm emulating Jesus and going down that level of faith to make sure that I'm doing things in a godly way,
yeah,
more so than a, you know, worldly kind of way that might be usually expected.
So your faith does make a difference. Jesus in you makes a difference.
100%. It's, yeah, particularly in workplaces, you know, there's so often that almost, you know, draw to be worldly. You know, you work with a lot of people that aren't Christians, that are devoid of faith and religion, and, you know, they will act a certain way, and you know, you've really got to check yourself to make sure that you're not being dragged into that, and that you're sticking to your faith.
Yeah, so powerful. And I think, again, as you think about your work life, what difference does my faith make is a good question when you turn up tomorrow morning. How am I different from the person next to me is a good question. I like that. Nicole, what do you experience in that? Has your faith helped you in some of those times when work's challenging?
Absolutely. In the sense of, so working in the medical field, serving people as well, you tend to deal with difficult patients or clients. But you also get to see them at their highest high and their lowest low.
Right.
And you tend to see how, I want to say, faith or Christianity do come through there, especially if they're at the point of their lowest low. That's sort of when they start to grasp at the point where we need something to help us, or that miracle to come through to help get us through the situation.
Yeah.
And I remember earlier in my nursing days, my unit manager, so we resuscitated a patient, and the family came in and they're like, oh, you're so amazing, you're so awesome, and thank you so much for everything that you've done. And she kind of answered them, and that stayed with me, like, we are merely the instruments that God used to do his work here. Mm. So everything we do for him, and that's what we kind of always try to embody to the kids, is to say that when we ask you to do something, or when you go to school, or when we go to work, we all do it for him.
Nice.
And it's your responsibility, and we are a team, and we need to help each other, and this is how you find your place in the world, and this is how you show the world who you are,
mm-hmm,
what your morals are, what your strengths are, and this is how you find your place, and you need to be able to stand on your feet so that everybody can see that this is someone who loves God and who lives his life through him. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing both of you say is that you can be a Christian just by the way you act and behave and treat people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if you...
It should be obvious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because if you're going to treat people with love and kindness, they're going to pick up on something eventually.
Yeah.
And I have found, especially here, not many people will say something towards that direction if you talk to them, but there are a few, and I'm pretty sure it's like there's something that sort of translates or go through where they would pick up and you would pick up, oh, we are from, like, we are doing the same thing. Yeah, we are on the same path.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Now, Andrew, you probably face some challenges in the financial industry that, you know, even areas of compromise or areas of just upholding some values. Do you want to just share a bit about that?
Yeah, and listening to your talk before, you know, we live in a fallen world, and I think the first thing is we've got to acknowledge that. And when we turn up into the workplace, most people don't see the world the way that we see it.
Right.
And you will be confronted with things that go against the grain. And when you hear that little voice in the back of your head going, oh, I don't know if this is the right thing, listen to it. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you as a Christian that that is not the right path to take.
Right.
And, you know, it might be a little white lie. Oh, yeah, look, I sent you that email.
Yeah.
You hadn't sent the email. But you're doing that because you didn't do the right thing, but you have succumbed to going down the wrong path. You need to get hold of the little things because I can assure you the big things will come. Let me give you an example. And some people know this, but during the pandemic, one of the things that found its way into every boardroom and every senior management team in the country was the issue of mandates.
Yep.
And when that issue came up for me, I was so grieved in my spirit about the concept of forcing someone to do something that they may not otherwise want to do. And I really wrestled with that. And there was absolutely no peace about that thing. So I went to the scripture. And it's like, how do I reconcile where we are with what the Bible's telling me to do? And I came across Romans 14, which is really about the whole concept of freedom of conscience. We're given free will as Christians. And so I came to the position that I could not support a mandate. Forget about your position on the vaccination. But I could not force someone else to do something. So I took I took that stand, and I took it at great cost. And I think people have got to understand that when you stand up for what you believe, there is often a cost. But I want to assure you that if you can get through it, there is tremendous reward on the other side.
Good.
So the cost to me was it was professional, it was relational, it was financial. And I think only my wife really knows the toll that took. But when you come through that, when you take a stand that is grounded on the Word of God, when you honour the prompting of the Holy Spirit being your conscience, when you take a hit and you move through that and you come out the other side, let me assure you, you are 10 foot tall and bulletproof. All right, so start with the little things in your workplace.
Yeah.
But if you can get through that, there is nothing that you can't accomplish.
Yeah.
And what is happening through that process is you're being primed for the next thing that's coming.
Yep. Yep.
So that's what I take out of work, and these are the sorts of stands that I feel that, you know, God's led me to a point where I've got to take a stand. And for Christians, there's more coming. The world does not like what we've got to say. The world doesn't like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And in churches and in schools, etc., we will see more of this happening. And so we need people to take stands.
Can I pick up on that? Because this is brilliant. You're saying the little things. What are the little things is it easy to compromise on in a workplace? I'm just keen for any thoughts. I know this has been YouTube live, so you don't have to talk about your own workplace now. You know, just a workplace somewhere. What areas of compromise have you felt like you've come across that someone said, oh, can you just sign this, or can you just fudge this, or, you know, can you think of examples and where you've just gone, no, I'm not going down that, because that's one of those little things that you're talking about?
Yeah, I remember I was working in ICU and this patient was sitting there and he actually got lawyers in to come and redo his testament or his will. And they were looking for someone just to sign as a witness. And they came to me and I said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And not long story short, they eventually, someone did sign just as a witness. They said, oh, look, you're just signing, you're just witnessing, everything is done. He actually passed away the next day. But anyhow, he kind of like obviously knew what's going to happen. But yeah, it come to the point where if you're not comfortable doing something, don't.
Love it. That's the conscience that Andrew's talking about.
Yeah.
Reese, any things that you feel like might happen around the places you've worked?
Look, I mean, yeah, the workplaces I've all worked in have all been alcohol kind of focused.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been serving wine in the restaurants and then obviously selling wine in a winery. Yeah. And so you often come up against that sometimes, you know, there are people that maybe shouldn't be being served, maybe, you know, have had too much. And I mean, we all have our RSAs, responsible service of alcohol, and it kind of calls you to not serve them if they're alcohol, you know, if they're over the limit or whatever.
Yep.
But then you've got to compromise that with, you know, the businesses obviously making money by selling to these people. So thankfully in a winery setting, most people are actually fairly sober. They're driving around. They're actually really pleasant to deal with, lovely people. But definitely in a restaurant setting, you quite often come against things of, I could sell this person another $200 bottle of wine. They definitely don't need it, but how good would that be for the business's, you know, bottom line at the end of the day?
Yeah.
So
these are good examples. And this is integrity. So whether it's like financial integrity is important. What you say, you said, you know, I sent that email, or just being true to your word, like yes be yes, no be no. Like those things are full of in the scriptures. And if we are people of integrity and we just say it, it might cost us. I'm thinking of the book of Daniel. Like he just followed through on his convictions. And he went down big time, but then you watch what happened to the end. You know, and that's just so true of scripture. This is so good. Let me throw you this question. Which made me laugh as I wrote it. If rugby is the game they play in heaven, that might be contentious too. What would you like to do in heaven? So if rugby is the sport they play, what is the work that you would like to do in heaven?
So I was real confused by this question at first. I'm like, I know nothing about rugby. How do I answer this? So, I mean, for me personally, some of my favourite times throughout the week are when I'm worshipping, and I worship with my bass guitar, with an instrument, and that's really what I would love to be doing when we get to heaven.
Awesome.
Would just be, you know, playing bass, just worshipping.
It'll be a big subwoofer in heaven.
I imagine it will be, yeah. Good vibes everywhere.
I guess this is tapping into the idea, right, just give you the background of the question, that I don't think we'll be just floating on clouds, you know. I think they're the stuff of cartoons. We'll be doing stuff. We'll be kingdom work. It's not like, you know, Miami Beach. It's just, we will be engaged in our vocation and engaged. So that's a great answer. Can't wait for that. What do you reckon, Cole? That'll be Nicole.
I also looked at the question and thought I'll be watching the game. I don't know.
Being a rugby fan. Being from South Africa where everything's rugby.
Yeah, as long as the right people playing. No, I'm just joking. No, I would imagine still in service, like servicing service of people, I would imagine. I know it's the boring answer, but I don't think I would be able to do something else.
Yeah, your call, and there's another thing, you're tapping to serve people. Which is just such a beautiful thing.
Yep.
You're saying the same thing. That's your heart. Andrew, rugby.
Yeah, no.
No.
Look, I think it actually is a really good question. And I don't think we really think about heaven enough.
Yeah.
I think the verse you provided was Revelation 21:5. Mm-hmm. Behold, I'm making all things new.
Yeah.
I think it is so fantastic. So beyond our comprehension that I've got absolutely no idea.
Which is probably the correct theological answer.
I mean, we sit here and we can... Pilot. I'll definitely be flying, absolutely. No, I think there's... I think it's really worth exploring heaven.
Yeah.
Because we're so limited in the way that we see everything as humans. there'll be so many things that will be applied to that are just not even in our field of comprehension at the moment.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know. As long as I'm there, that's the main gig. So,
that's such a good answer. I guess I believe that what we do now actually does count for heaven, and let's be if you're an architect, be a really good architect. Like design things that are brilliant here. And who knows? We'll be building stuff. I mean, for eternity, there'll be a need for architects. You know, if you love serving people, do it here. Get well practiced because you'll be doing it for a while. Now, in glory, in blessing, you know, without all the pushback and the world that we live in, imagine being able to practice your vocation without any barrier, without any hard days, and that's heaven to me. So, any closing thoughts? This has been such a good, just again, conversation starter, thinking about your world of work and just trying to tap into a couple of things. Anything else that you'd like to add or as you picked up in the conversation?
Look, I think, maybe I'll be serving communion wine in heaven. Maybe that's I think it's really important that we take our workplaces and use them to kind of spread the gospel. And share the gospel. When I was working in the restaurants, you're spending so much time with these people, developing really deep relationships with them, high stress environments, long hours. And so, interestingly, those kind of spaces, religion comes up a lot.
Yeah.
And quite easily, I shared my faith with pretty much everyone in those situations. In my current job, I find it harder to share. You know, I'm not developing as deep a relationships with these with these people. I'm not, with them at 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You know, there's less opportunity. So it's about trying to find more ways, I think, to share the gospel with them, and coming back to that kind of modeling the gospel to them first and foremost, and hopefully then that allows them to see and kind of pick up on some things, and opening up that conversation that way is super important.
That's a good thought. Yeah, because these are the people we often spend more time with, and workmates than at home sometimes. You know, we're spending a lot of time. Anything else to add, Nicole?
Yeah, I would just say treat others the way you would like to be treated, and if you have God living through you with his light shining and you treat others with kindness and respect, people will pick up on that. And something might switch. You don't need to do the big things. It's just the little things. Something will get picked up and someone will maybe start the conversation, or you'll be able to start a conversation. Right. They might just drop that little hint and then you go, oh.
Right.
Let's see what we can get here from here on. But yeah, just be kind towards each other and
good tip.
Yeah.
Good tip. Be kind. Yeah. World needs more kindness. Anything else?
Oh look, Andrew? I think just take a stand. Just rest on the word of God. Stand up for the things that are right. If you see someone being bullied, get alongside them. If you see someone being oppressed in some way, get alongside them.
Yeah.
If someone's gossiping, don't participate in it.
Yeah.
Hold people's confidence, be that point of integrity.
Yep.
People will come to you because they see something different, because they know they can trust you.
Good.
And when they come to you, the opportunities open up. They always do.
Yeah.
So don't ever be afraid to stand on the word of God, because you will be tested every day.
Yeah.
But you'll be stronger on the other side.
Yeah.
If you get through it.
Yeah. Great advice. This is great of us. Why don't you give these guys a hand? That's the panel.